This was a very difficult decision because I have three wonderful sons. I mean, Adrian, so smart, so ruthless.
Wears makeup.
And Cassius, so strong, so tough.
Don't forget clinically insane.
And Nikki, such a sweet boy. But after much thought and careful consideration, I've decided that the ruler for the next 10,000 years is going to have to be... me.
What?
Hallelujah. I mean, that sucks.
Little Nicky, 2000 Stephen Brill movie. Definitely a film. A movie a 13-year-old would love. And I think I was about that age when I first watched this. So I have a kind of a soft spot for it. Jordan, when was the first time you watched this movie? And was this the first time?
No, the first time I actually watched this movie was, like, me and Quinton had just moved in with our old housemates, Kayla and Kobe, shout out. And, like, we were trying to do, like, a housemate, like, dinner night kind of thing. And Quinton was insistent that, like, we put that movie on. And this was, like, one of the first times that, I don't know, like, Kobe and Kayla were still trying to get to know Quinton, if that makes sense. And so when Quinton put this movie on, which neither of them found quite entertaining, like, I think it really kind of, they were like, what the fuck is this dude's, like, taste?
Tough crowd.
No, yeah, it's... yeah, it was a tough crowd.
Well, in Quinton's defense, we would have showed him that younger than us. So he would have watched that really young. And
right,
watching it now under, like, a microscope, it was very juvenile. Some bits made me laugh still, but yeah, it's definitely not for like a middle-aged person, which I could almost am. Very sad.
Well, damn, yeah, bro, no. You really admitted that on the air.
I did. but yeah, so this was picked by our fan, Triple R3. I didn't ask his real name.
Tripler 3.
Yeah. So Jordan,
shout out Tripler 3.
Read his review of it, or I asked him for a review. This is what he sent in.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, Tripler 3 said, hearing you guys mention Little Nicky during your episodes made me want to see it. I watched it for the first time 3 months ago. It's such a bizarre movie, which does sum that up quite well. I didn't expect all the cameos or the arrow coming out of the dog's red rocket. I laughed my ass off the whole time. I'll definitely be watching this movie again. And so, yeah, thanks so much for that request, Triple Three. It's really nice to get, you know, people putting in requests as usual. And I think this is something different to what we've been watching recently. Yeah. So that was kind of, it was a nice breath of fresh air. But I think it's also good, like, you kind of summed it up at the end there where you said, I'll definitely be watching this movie again, because I feel like Adam Sandler's movies are so, like, easy to watch and so easy to enjoy. Like, I fucking love Adam Sandler, man.
They're like a comfort blanket.
Yes, 100%. Like, you know, like, it's like you used to buy those DVDs with, like, the triple movies.
Yeah, yeah, three packs.
Yeah.
You got triple literally in your head because of the guy's username.
Yes. Oh, well, that too. But, like, that was, like, the one DVD thing that we had at my pop's house. So every time we go and stay at my pop's house, it was either Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, or Anger Management.
Oh.
And me and my sister watched Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore that many fucking times. Like, oh, shit, you know, we know, like, a lot of the quotes off by heart and stuff like that. It's so fun. Like, I always think of her when I think of Adam Sandler. So
out of those two movies, Jordan, which one do you prefer?
I always, like, initially I used to prefer...
Well, let me guess. You preferred Billy Madison first and then Happy Gilmore, but now you prefer Happy Gilmore.
Yes, that's so right. Yeah, that's so right. I think that's because everyone. Like... yeah, and when I was younger, like, Billy Madison was more funny, I think, because, like,
juvenile.
So dumb that, like, a kid's going to school, like, he's going back to school with these kids and, like, fucking them up at dodgeball and stuff like that. Like, that's funny. But I feel like Happy Gilmore has a bit more heart to it because it's like, you know, he's trying to save his house for his grandma and stuff. It's cute.
He definitely found the bones for his movies. It's like, he had to have, like, a heart aspect to it. And that's why... Yeah. That's why people love watching them, because it's just so, like heartfelt almost. Even this has its moments, like with Valerie and his mum and, like, dad, which is the devil.
Yeah, and Chubbs angel. Comes back.
Yeah, Chubbs has a cameo. Let's just speak on that. Just the cast. A lot of cameos.
Oh, my God. Or extended so many.
Extended cameos. I just want to read just a few out so everyone be patient. Patricia Arquette, Harvey Keitel, Reese Fans, always forget how to say his last name, Tiny Lister Jr., Rodney Dangerfield. I'll skip his friends. We'll talk about them later, or Adam Sandler's friends. You got the guy, you know, that dog, talking dog with a cigar in like Eminem videos. That's the guy who voiced Beefy, the dog in this movie.
Oh, what the fuck?
Like, he's a pretty renowned comedian. His name's Robert Smeagol, which is like Lord of the Rings.
That's yeah. Funny.
Denny Carvey, SNL. These are like a lot of SNL alumni. So you got John Lovitz. I'm pretty sure Michael McKean, he was in Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap, but I think he was SNL for briefly. Kevin Nealon, Carl Weathers, you said, Quentin Tarantino. I'm sure there's more peppered through. We'll talk about them throughout our discussions of this movie. But yeah, no, for like a movie lover, this one would surprise you. Like, holy shit, he's in it. Like a lot of people.
Legit.
Like, must love Adam Sandler. Like, he must be such a cool dude. People just sign on to his movie. Like,
he'd have good connections. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they got, like, his first pick and most cast members. So, I think he said, oh, we'll write this to Harvey Keitel. He signs on. He was in Turkey, too, when they sent it to him. And he, like, responded, like, yes, I'll do it.
That's so pretty cute.
Like, Roddy Dangerfield. I don't know if you know this, but I'm talking to a rug. The guy who loves the titties, like the grandfather devil.
Yeah.
He's like a renowned comedian. Like Adam Sandler looked up to him growing up.
Oh, wow. Oh, that'd be so special as well to have someone like work on one of your projects that you admire. That is fantastic.
Yeah. He like memorized his stand-up. I always find it funny, but it's very dated. It's just always like a one-liner. He's in the episode of The Simpsons where it's Mr. Burns' son. Remember that episode? And he's like on the train. He sees Mr. Burns.
Vaguely, yeah.
Is an awesome voice, very awesome voice. Apparently, has a really big dick or really big balls. It's one or the other. and he's like known to flash people a lot.
Holy shit.
Like backstage, like as a prank, as a joke. It's like a joke thing.
Okay.
It's not like a sexual thing. It's just like, hey, look at these. It's like massive balls. So,
blam.
Yeah.
Holy shit. But
on that note, though, like if you look at Adam Sandler's run of movies, he was on such a heater, and this one kind of like put it to a stop, to like a halt almost. I'll read a couple out to you. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, because those two were like huge. He did a movie, Bulletproof, which is like a comedy action comedy with Keenan Ivory Raines. Oh, sorry. What's the other Wayne? One of the Wayans brothers.
Right.
Yeah, you know which one. Then he did Wedding Singer, which is like another heartfelt.
I love that one. And the bit where he's singing, I love it.
Yeah,
like as in when he's angry, he's singing.
Waterboy, Big Daddy.
So fucking good.
Did a couple. Yeah, a cameo in Deuce Bigelow, like you can do it, like that thing they always do for each other.
Yeah.
And then he did Little Nicky. But those run of movies were crazy. And like, he was like box office gold, especially Big Daddy. I think Big Daddy did huge numbers. And it was like a heartfelt movie too. So this is it's so weird. It kind of like went a totally different direction, like his trajectory. If you'd like trace his movies, it's crazy he did this.
Yeah, definitely a different tone, isn't it? Like it's a lot more, now that I think about it.
It's just out there.
It's a lot more goofy and silly, but it's like, it's not really. Yeah, I think it's just because it's differently toned and I guess it's got that like, supernatural element to it. But what's your favorite? Do you have a personal favorite for Adam Sandler movies?
Probably Happy Gilmore, because I love Christopher McDonald. I think me and Tony talked about this in The Faculty, which is he's in it briefly, but I do like most of his stuff.
Like when you were rattling them off, I was like, oh, fucking Big Daddy is like just a really good, like wholesome movie.
Yeah.
And then Waterboy is so good. And I love, what's her name? Like the
chicken.
The main love interest.
Yeah.
Because she's in The Craft as well. Fuck, what's her name? It's like a really interesting name. It's different. Oh, Fairuza Balk?
Yeah, that's it.
Fairuza?
She was in American History X. She's good in that too.
And she's so like unique looking. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love her. What about
probably my favorite Happy Madison production. Little do you know, this was the second movie that came out under their production banner. It was first movie ever was Deuce Bigelow, and then it was this.
Oh, wow.
So, like, this is Adam Sandler's, like, money, essentially, which is smart because he, like, invested in himself and his friends. But my favorite Happy Madison production will have to be Joe Dirt. I fucking...
Oh, my God. Don't... Yeah. Fuck yes.
I love it.
What do you call it? Last night was my sister's 21st birthday party.
Yeah.
And it was an Aussie Icons themed, and so many fucking mullets were floating around. Like, everyone...
Love it.
Everyone was Joe Dirt at one point last night.
Yeah, so funny.
So good. I forgot, like, yeah, there's obviously Adam Sandler movies that Adam Sandler isn't in. He just produces.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, so what did he do after Little Nicky? Like, so there was a break, or...
I think he did something serious, Punch Drunk Love. I've never seen that movie.
I remember
before.
People were like, no, that's not great. Like, he's not good at it. I think this is when he was trying to, like, expand his, his, like, repertoire, and people didn't like it.
Well, it wasn't really his choice, per se, because the director, Paul Thomas Anderson, and he's like, I'm pretty sure he did Mongolia, Boogie Nights and shit. Like, he was pretty hot at the time. And he's just like, and he's watching, like, I think Big Daddy, and he's like, holy shit, this guy has something. And, like, I think he wrote the movie or had a script around or something, and he's like, yeah, I need him in the main role, and convinced him to do it. I don't think it was like
interesting.
It wasn't really his decision. He was like, probably got talked into it. And I haven't seen it. Apparently he's really good in it anyway. And there is something about Adam Sandler. Like, originally growing up, I think I saw more Rob Schneider movies, like The Hot Chick, Animal, Deuce Bigelow. Like, I used to like him more than Adam Sandler. And it's just because this is like a 10-year-old, because I've watched more. And I always thought, like, it was a bit more, like, more heartfelt. Like, he is more heartfelt, but he's more like chintzy, like lame for like a teenage kid. Like, prepubescent kid, I should say. When you revisit all these, like, stuff, it's like, oh, yeah, this is way better. Like, way more themes you connect with. Like, anger management is better than The Hot Chick. Like, it's not
even close. Once you, like, become a bit more analytical as you mature, you kind of see the actual value in movies. Yeah, it's so interesting. That, like,
well, I should have brought this up, though, when you talked about that bulk chick from The Waterboy.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler can pick female leads, like, to bounce off.
Oh, and that makes me think of fucking 50 First Dates and Drew Barrymore, and, like, how they're, like, they're an on-screen power couple, but they're not, actually romantically involved in real life. But they fucking, they have great chemistry. They're funny. She's
and the
fantastic
wedding singer
in that movie. And The Wedding Singer, yep. And then Jennifer Aniston is his other one. But, like, well, everyone loves Jennifer Aniston.
Let's just pick, you can pick two, and I'll pick two of your favorites. So you can pick Drew Barrymore first if you want.
Yeah.
And then what, you pick in Jennifer Aniston then?
I probably would do Fareeza Balk, because I think, it's obviously more of, like, related to the characters in the actual movie, but in Waterboy, I think their, like, connection is really, really cute.
Yeah, that's right. I was thinking Mr. Deeds with what's her name? Winona Ryder.
Yes, and it took me ages to figure out that was Winona Ryder in there. So fucking long. Because I think this is after she got caught, like, stealing shit.
Yeah.
Do you know that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Like, that was such a... Dude,
awkward.
The public... Popular culture back then was insane. Like, that was such newsbreaking that someone shoplifted. It was pretty, like, lame. She's a millionaire and shit. But, like, kind of, like, fucked it, like, derailed her career for, like, years until that Netflix show, fucking Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, yeah. Like, she literally did not have much after that. Oh, no, Black Swan.
Yeah, but she was,
she
like,
had that.
She was glorified, like, extra in that. She was good, though. Like, it's... But, like, her role was kind of like the fallen star, which is kind of like what she is in real life. So, you had, like, that kind of blurred lines. It's a good casting.
That's a good point. Good observation there.
The other one I like would have to be... I watched Anger Management the other night, so I was sticking my head with Marissa Tomei. But I'll probably go, Drew Barrymore's probably his best, because they've done two movies together and shit. Yeah, she's always good.
Oh, they were in Blended as well, remember?
Oh, yeah, another one. Yeah, Blended. I haven't seen Blended.
Less good. Like, it's more family-friendly, but it's still pretty good.
They should team up one more time. That'd be cool. Oh, actually, no. We should mention the girl from Uncut Gems. The fucking.
Oh, good point. Good point.
What do we call her? Like, the ghoul or some shit? Goblin mode. That's it.
Fucking. And what's her name now? I can't fucking think. Oh my god. Oh, Julia Fox. Yes, I can.
Julia Gulia. Yeah,
no. Julia Gulia.
Yeah.
Good Julia morning, Fox. Julia. So funny.
This could be a lot of detours in this episode, just because we have. Like, we haven't done a comedy before, so I've got so much written down that's probably not about the movie per se. Let's go to the movie anyway. This movie had a huge budget, just for a comedy, $85 million.
You know what? That's crazy. I'm not entirely surprised by that, though, because so much of, like, the physical special effects, like the hell sets and stuff like that, was pretty crazy.
They built them.
Yeah. And so, obviously, like, I don't know, when you're not – well, I know CGI is still, like, expensive, but when you're not CGIing everything –
yeah, there's, like, hints of CGI, like the flames and stuff. But, yeah, the majority was all, like, practical. And it stands out. Like, it looks good.
I'm assuming that costs more as well because you're paying for, like, labor and product.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm assuming it costs more.
Funny thing is, according to IMDb, it only made $50 million. So, it actually lost money.
Mm.
So, I definitely would have recouped it through DVD sales and stuff.
I think so. And yeah, once again, like Adam Sandler movies, people want to watch them. Like similar to, I don't know, I remember like hearing when Grown Ups came out, like so many critics were like, fuck Grown Ups, it's gross, like it's dumb, it's stupid, it's not funny. And like it didn't matter, like because the public just loves Adam Sandler and was like, we'll go watch it. And so it made like bank, even though all the reviews were like really shit.
Speaking of critics, the famous film critic, Roger Ebert, he gave this movie 2.5 stars, which was the highest he ever, like, gave him. He normally gave him, like, 1 or 1.5 from, like, Billy Madison to this.
So what?
It's crazy. But apparently with Roger Ebert, he only – if he gives you 3 stars, that's when he recommends you should watch it. He still doesn't recommend you watch it, but actually doesn't mind the movie, which is pretty funny because this is probably his worst one until, like, at that time anyway, which I don't think it's that bad, but it's definitely not for everyone. But, yeah, you talk about, like, how, like, bankable he is, though. That's why Netflix gave him that huge picture deal. That's why he does all his movies through Netflix now.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's all about the clicks, like, literally. Like, even though Ridiculous 6, like, was trash, people like watched it. Like it was watched crazily. That's why they keep giving.
That's the bit. I don't know. I haven't watched many of the Netflix ones, but they just don't seem like they match the vibe of everything that he put out, like late 90s, 2000s. You know what I mean? They just don't seem the same.
One of Crystal's favorite movies, my wife, is That's My Boy. And first time I watched it, I hated it because I had such high hopes for it. It wasn't as bad as it was, but I probably enjoyed it more because she was loving it. So, like, when someone has joy watching something, it's kind of like rubs off on you a bit.
You're watching them more than the movie, but
Vanilla Ice is funny in it though too. Like his cameos, goddamn! Like the cameos in this. Do you like Quentin Tarantino, Geordie? Is that your favorite?
Yes,
character?
I was like, what the fuck? That's actually crazy.
he's so good. By any chance, Geordie? Did you do a movie smoothie for this?
No. I want you to do a movie smoothie for
once. Oh, what a stitch up.
Yeah, it's been a while, bro. It's been a while, right. Let's be honest.
You give me some, what do you call it? Some ingredients and I'll just wing it. It'll probably be better than.
Because of what Tripler 3 said, I have to say Red Rocket.
Yeah, true. Shovel Face.
Shovel Face. Angels and Devils. Head titties, talking dogs, Popeyes, and Coca-Cola. Product placement, basically.
Possessions,
speech impediments.
that sounds good.
Okay, good. Hit me with it.
All right. I'll do my hold up. I'll do I kind of do it. I was gonna do an impression.
Were you gonna do the mouth thing? My mum was literally like doing the impersonation today when I told her that like that's what we're watching. She's like, I hate that fucking movie because she doesn't like silly stuff.
Well, actually,
and she was like mocking the voice.
On that note, before I get to the movie, that's why Adam Sandler suffers in this role. Like, this is probably the biggest critique of the movie for me is he takes away what's funny about him. Like, is his anger outbursts? Like, everything builds to that, and when he has his like talk like this. You kind of lose what's the best part, like the funniest part about him. And he kind of is almost a straight man. So he kind of it's why he doesn't like live on like the rest of his movies, I don't think. But he's still all right. But
I do feel like as well, like maybe that he just was trying too hard with that character. Like
Yeah.
Yeah, like the you said, if he played it more like how he's bodied other characters in the past, it might be a bit different. That's just one little weak point. But
he said it based on someone he met at school and he had like a speech impediment and
his
face. Yeah, yeah, seriously.
That's mean, man. Like, that's mean. Oh, this movie
could be definitely considered mean. There's so many humor choices that are just like either sexist or homophobic.
When he's like talking with the Chinese people owning the
yeah, even that racist. So many things. But yeah, let's do the movie schmovie. So I'm little Nikki, and this is my exploits when I saved my dad and my brothers went to Earth and I chased them down. Yeah, so we'll just talk about that. That was the movie schmovie. My impressions
piss weak,
are bad.
Bro. I don't care.
All right, let's see your
impression. Like, just dragged it over the line.
Let's hear your impression then. I didn't even heard yours.
I'm not doing it.
Just give it a go. I gave it a go. It took me a while to find it.
I literally can't make my mouth move like that, bro. Like, I always try to. My face is like numb. I try to do the rock eyebrow all the time, and I can't do it.
The way you find it, I think the voice is you say Valerie or Adrian, get in the flask. You say that.
Valerie.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Valerie. I think that's pretty good. I wouldn't mind it. But then people are getting this. This is the juvenile humor. This is Creighton for us because of the stupid movie.
Yeah.
So the movie starts with our boy, one of me and my brother's favorite actors, John Lovitz. He's the guy like Peeping Tom in the tree.
Yeah. Dude, and he's in Benchwarmers.
Yes, he's a millionaire in Benchwarmers, which is one of my favorite movies too. Like, I watched that. I burnt like the DVD out because we didn't own many DVDs, and Benchwarmers was one of them. So I do love. That's probably why I like John Lovett so much. But he's so funny in this, and it's pretty funny because he's an SNL alumni as well. And
yes,
Adam Sandler got fired. I don't know if you know about this from SNL, like literally, like it pretty much birthed his film career because he got fired and then Happy Gilmore came out. He wanted to do both. He wanted to do SNL and a film career, I guess.
Right.
He was unsure, but pretty much being fired, like forced him into films. And he was like depressed and shit. It was pretty crazy. It's like you listen to him talk about it. It's actually worth listening. And
why did he get fired?
Because like the ratings essentially, and they were just blaming the cast.
Oh, needed something new that will fix it kind of thing. Well,
like Chris Rock, Rob Schneider, like or everyone that he pretty much brought with him, he like was fired, I think. Maybe not Chris Rock. Maybe he just left. But yeah, they're pretty incompetent back then. The only reason why it's still going is probably because of Will Ferrell. Like he revived it. He's like his cast as well. But he was so huge for that show. But just weird that like Adam Sandler became the biggest movie star after leaving. Always find that cool. But you know, but back to like John Lovitz, he would always ask Adam Sandler, like, you got a role for me? Like shit like this. And like, of course they run this fucked up role of him being a Peeping Tom. I always find that pretty funny how it's just like, and apparently he was gracious about it. Like it is a good role too. Like for a comedian, shit like this would be awesome. Like,
I guess, and it's fun to be like an opening character in a movie, I guess.
Yeah.
And things like that. Like you can see how there's like positives to it, but
yeah,
kind of
sure.
Funny.
Do you know who the female is getting undressed as well with the one with the awesome body? She's actually
seem familiar.
She is the lead. Oh, sorry, probably the second lead of Mulholland Drive.
Don't
know if you've ever seen that movie. Oh, it's David Lynch. We're covering it soon too.
Okay.
Yes, right, she's great, but she plays like someone with amnesia. But I was thinking like a role like this is kind of yeah, that's pretty funny. But yeah, like a role like this. It's pretty funny, like, they probably just hired someone with, like, an awesome body. And this girl, like, I think a year later or 2 years later, she hit it big. Like, she's just on the precipice of, like, she's in a big actress, but she's in, like, The Punisher, a handful of things. But it was good for her career because it made Naomi Watts. You know who Naomi Watts is?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, the girl from The Ring.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. So it made her career the David Lynch movie. Anyway. So she's an awesome body. Yeah. Stupid joke where he like calls a kid up and like the bird wants you to move so mommy can undress and he falls off, breaks his neck. But yeah, we see hell. I love how like there's a gate and it's like full of flames. Like this stuff's really inventive. I like the look of it, the design. And you know, if you notice like the flying squids as well, like as they pan over hell. I think it looks fucking
sick.
Yeah,
there was some heaps good stuff in like these opening scenes. Like yeah. And yeah, the a lot of the costuming too. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Do you notice Adam Sandler's shoes?
I fucking hate the shoes. So dumb. But they also like look like demonias. Like any girlies listening to this will know what I'm talking about with demonias. Do you know what demonias are?
Nah, it's over my head. You
they're like
the
goth girl boots.
Well, this guy is almost goth. He's emo. This is like before emo was a thing, eh? Like that haircut, did he make that up or did people rock that in the metal scene?
He set the trend, bro. Like he made
did
this
he really?
Had, no. But like
no, the haircut.
You can imagine
though.
It.
The sweepy ass haircut. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like I don't understand. Like I reckon halfway through filming, I'm saying I was like looking at like because they always like rewatch what they filmed and stuff and like perfect it, I guess, like get better. And I reckon halfway through, if you're looking at his performance and his hairdo and what he's doing, it's just like, why don't I just be myself or like be closer to myself? But maybe because it's like the success maybe got to his head. Who knows? He went for a big swing. But yeah, like he's in his room. He's like rocking out. He gets summoned to his dad to get an announcement about who's going to be the new ruler of hell for the next 1,000 years. Pretty funny, like his brothers, we'll talk about them. Tiny Lister, he's a black brother. He's got, like, he plays Cassius. I don't know if you know him, but he's really funny in Friday. There's another guy from Friday too, but I'll bring him up when you see him. Everyone knows him if you're a fan of Friday.
Oh, I'm still yet to see Friday, and so many people have recommended it to me. Like,
it's good.
My pen pal has told me I should watch it.
Yeah, it's definitely like Menace to Society type vibes, I guess.
Yeah, but isn't it funny?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It's funny as, but it's in that time frame. It was like blaxploitation almost.
Right.
But yeah, that and then Reese Fiennes, I always fuck his last name up. But he was pretty much hot from the movie Notting Hill. He's like plays like his
friend.
He's like the comic relief. He's in a few other things too, like more Britain. And they just asked him.
He reminds me of like the guy that everyone thirsts for from Baldur's Gate. Like, but like the discount version. Have you played Baldur's Gate?
No.
Okay, I'll send you a pic and then you'll be like, oh, yeah, you're so true.
But like, apparently it's a good discount. Vibe. Apparently it's a good vibe. And I reckon he did a good performance too. Like, he didn't phone it in. He was definitely good.
Yeah, 100%.
Give credit to this movie too because it's a big production comedy. Like, a lot of effort went through it. And then a lot of deleted scenes, like this dartboard sequence of this guy's face going, oh, shit. There's actually more, but they deleted it. So they've actually did a lot of work. And I do like the runtime of this movie too, like an hour and a half. It's pretty smooth sailings.
Like
it's a lot
well, and just happen. Nice and digestible. Hey, like, and that's a bit like when I saw the runtime was like significantly shorter, I was like, oh, it's so nice to not watch a 2 hour long movie this week.
Yeah,
not that they're bad, but.
Yeah. So they set up some jokes with like the mind control thing. And then you get introduced to Harvey Keitel, and he like teaches one a lesson with the mind control. Do you like Harvey Keitel? He was in an unreleased episode, but Dusk Till Dawn. He plays a preacher.
Wait, what? So what character was he in this? Sorry,
the devil, Harvey Keitel. He plays.
Oh, yeah. He was cool, and like I was just reading on the IMDb thing that it was supposed to be Al Pacino first, and it got swapped out. And, like, but they kind of look exactly the same. Like, I think it's obviously the facial hair, but
I'm pretty sure Harvey Keitel has been replaced by so many actors.
Aww. So,
yeah, he was replaced. So he's pretty quickly actually replaced Al Pacino, but Apocalypse Now, which I've just recently watched for the first time. It's a masterpiece. Better than The Godfather. I don't know why The Godfather is so highly rated. But yeah, Harvey Keitel was cast first and it wasn't working out and they replaced him with Martin Sheen.
Bro.
Which is a good choice. So Martin Sheen kills it in that movie. Like, I don't want to talk about it, but it's really good.
So it's kind of meant to be.
It's kind of meant to be. But like in this, right. So he plays, it's probably my introduction to a lot of actors because I'm pretty sure I watch this before I watch Reservoir Dogs or anything else Harvey Keitel's in. Maybe Dusk Till Dawn, like all this other stuff. This is my introduction to him. It's kind of weird how your first impression of actors kind of like paint the brush. Always liked him. As soon as I saw him. So you don't have to win
me
over.
And you're like, oh, I know him from that. I feel like this movie is obviously, it's so easily done that because there's just so many cameos, like the sheer number of them.
But yeah, so the joke with the father being the devil is like he's really nice and he's like caring to his son and shit, like very undevil-like. So I do like that shit. And then, yeah, we have a good joke where he's like he picks himself to be the leader for the next 1,000 years and his brothers hate it. And then we finish the scene with them shoving a pineapple up Hitler's ass.
I love that. Like, that was so good. I really did love that bit.
Like, I was watching it and I was thinking, like, imagine being this actor. You get hired because you look like Hitler with the moustache, but then you have to dress up as a maid and then pretend like you're getting sodomized with a fucking pineapple. Like, it's not the best fucking thing. And then we got like another cameo. This is probably a footballer. You probably don't know him, but like Dan Marino. He's like asking for another Super Bowl ring or some shit.
Yeah, I was like, oh, obviously this is one for the NFL fans. Like, yeah. I didn't understand like the full context of the joke, but I was like, people are going to love this.
Yeah, the only reason I know this guy is because of he's in Ace Ventura. He plays like the guy who gets kidnapped by Van Horn, the man, woman.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like, anyway, so yeah, they pretty much, the brothers come up with a plan. It was just like, how about we just rule Earth? Because it's better to rule Earth than serve in hell. And it's funny how they fucked that line up like I just did. I love this gatekeeper.
Oh, he's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, he's so funny. And then, yeah, they go through. He goes, begs for forgiveness from the dad, and he puts tits on his head. Now, these tits. They're way too real looking and they look too good. It's very confusing. It's fucking.
Yeah, it's a bit gross.
It has to be like. Yeah, that's what it feels gross. I get the
joke.
And then
when they bring in Lucifer as well, like, that's even more gross.
Well, it's just where, like the dad's dad, Roger Dannefield's like, he wants to take the tit man with him. He's like, I'll leave if you let me take the tits with me or some shit. Pretty funny. But all this stuff happens in the first 13 minutes. I actually looked when he first appears on Earth. That's 13 minutes into the movie. That's quite like a dense opening, a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, and I suppose, but like, I kind of have to for the setup of the movie. So.
Yeah, no, I do like it. But then, yeah, you get a joke. He gets killed instantly. He comes back. And they're like, what the fuck? And I love this ongoing bit, though, with the devil falling to pieces and stuff. It creeped me out as a kid. I remember being, like, freaked out by it because it's almost body horror. Like,
yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. It's scary. It's unsettling.
No, that's good. At least I wasn't the only one.
No, I didn't like it.
I do like this dog thing, though. Like, for some reason, especially with my partner, Crystal, people just love talking dogs. I don't know if you like the talking dog, but... It's sort of a highlight for me in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it was a highlight.
What?
But yeah, like, everyone does love talking dogs. They're fun.
I do like the part when he's just like,
I just want to find my brothers and be on my way.
It's not going to be easy. Your brothers can possess people, so they probably won't look like themselves. You have to be suspicious of everyone.
All right, bro. Well, the jig is up then. Get in the flash. Come on, slide right on
me, moron.
Sorry,
He like blames a dog straight away. I find that very funny. But yeah, then I get my introduction. I didn't know who this was. I just thought it was a funny dude out of this movie. But Quentin Tarantino, he's like playing a preacher who burns up when he feels the presence of little Nicky. Do you like
it? It was a good touch. It actually didn't click for me that it was Quentin Tarantino at the start. Like, it took me like a couple of his appearances for me to be like, yo,
it's probably his best performance, right?
Yeah, and it's really good, like, comedic relief. Like, it's a funny movie, but you know what I mean? Like, it's good timing throughout the whole movie. Like, that is a really strong part and a strong character of this movie. Always good timing.
It's pretty cool because they have a pretty good relationship, these two. I know about
Adam Sandler and Quentin Tarantino. Yeah,
that's right.
Really?
Quentin Tarantino wrote the role as the Bear Jew for Adam Sandler.
For Adam Sandler?
Yes. Adam Sandler was supposed to be the original Bear Jew.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. So why didn't he take it? Do you know?
Because he was on another movie at the time and he couldn't do it. Yeah. But Tarantino, because I saw him in an interview, was so excited about it. He's like, we're going to have Adam Sandler there. Like buffed up and just beating the shit out of Nazis. He's like, I love his like enthusiasm for it. But I do like how they cast that director from Hostel. His name skips my mind, but he's a new guy who replaced him as a Bear Jew. He was good. He was like, he was more of a leading man looks anyway than Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
What's his name? Do you know who directs Hostel? He directs a few things. Oh, it's going to kill me.
Oh, no, because we've been talking about it for the last, like, two episodes. Like, miraculously, he's been brought up in the last two episodes. Wait.
Eli Roth. Fuck me.
Good one.
Yeah, Eli Roth. I did Google it.
And that's, like,
it.
Quite an easy it. Name to remember, too.
Yeah, I know, because it's so unique. You get, like, this fish out of water comedy now. Like, he learns how to eat chicken. But, yeah, it's funny how you learn how the dog lost its money, like, lost his, like, rent money, essentially. He like at a strip club, and it was pretty funny. I was like, yeah, loves it. So he has to stay in this apartment with one of his friends. So this is Alan Covert. He's in so many. He's in Happy Gilmore.
I was going to say he's one of those people that just he's sprinkled throughout Happy Madison Productions. Like there's so many of those people that they just constantly come back.
Yeah, and he's like Happy Madison the photographer in Mr. D's. He's the guy with the big dick in Anger Management. He's in, like, so many things. And I do like him. He's really funny. Have you seen Grandma's Boy? It's his only time leading a movie.
Grandma's Boy.
Yeah. You should watch it. No. It's good.
It'd be nice to see him do something bigger, to be honest. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, it must be hard being the like, side dude every time.
Yeah, well, like, I would live that life. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that. Like, you're one of your best friends. He's like, okay, I'm being in a movie. But he does stitch him up, though, too. Like, he gives him that shitty fucking haircut. Oh, my fucking God. It's insane. Like, his hairline's that far pushed back. I know. I wouldn't
just
wouldn't
to like... fuck on him.
I do like his look, though. Like, he wants to be an actor. I mean, this is where, like, the homophobic jokes come in, though, because he's everyone thinks he's gay. And it doesn't matter if he's gay or not, though, and that's another thing. Like, who cares? That's half the thing. It's every joke that's at his expense is because he's gay.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if he was like open, like it was, if he was the homophobic one, like, I'm not gay. Like he was like, if he hated being called gay and he was, that would be funny. But if it's just like him just like shaking it off, it's kind of not funny.
I mean, and it's just a really good example of how, like, I think something that shifts very, very quickly is comedy.
You
know what I mean? Like comedy now is so completely different to comedy in the 1980s. Like I remember a thing popping up in my feed not too long ago where, Eddie Murphy was making a joke about like smacking his wife, like smacking his girlfriend. Like it was a joke about domestic violence and like, you know, you have to put women in their place sometimes. And I'm like, holy shit, man. Like,
That's
crazy.
What color suit was he wearing?
Red.
Okay. So that's,
I think it was Delirious. Up before.
Nah, Delirious. Oh, okay. That's Delirious. Okay. Yeah. So that was like 80s. But yeah, he was so fucking funny.
I really didn't know that Eddie Murphy was like that. Like, the first time I saw Eddie Murphy was in the fucking...
Family Friendly...
Daddy Daycare.
Him?
And so, yeah, it was crazy.
Well, hold up. Who actually started this Family Friendly stuff? Because Sandler and him kind of copied each other's career trajectory, I feel.
Oh.
Yeah, like, because all he did was, like, action comedies a lot. And then I think The Nutty Professor was, like, kind of, we did both, like, adult... And the sequel was very more family friendly.
Mm.
But what did Adam Sandler do? He did a movie, didn't he? It was like real family friendly. Maybe 50 First Dates was sort of like that.
It's more family friendly.
Big Daddy almost. But yeah, I don't know. There's more money in it though. That's the thing.
There's
more money. But maybe not. I think Click was kind of family movie.
No.
I reckon you could watch it with family. That's fine. No, maybe just Eddie Murphy did like the pure like just cash movies. He was more money driven, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's a really interesting career. Next time we do an Eddie Murphy movie, we can dive deep on him. I love him.
That'd be fun.
So essentially now he's living there, sleeping on the heater. It's crazy ass like demonic noises coming from him.
Yeah. But also like at the same time, he's probably like the most normal guy in New York. Like you see all those like videos of people like doing flips on the subway and like that guy that dresses up as a rat as a street performer. Like, you know what I mean? He's probably the most normal guy in New York at this
point. It's so funny. People are so numb to like weird behavior like there as well.
Yeah, like people just walk past it and like don't interact with it at all. It's
yeah,
so
well,
funny.
Like look at the stupid TikTok dances, mate. I get such secondhand cringe off that.
Seeing people record it in real life is so cringe. Like when I worked at the high school, obviously kids would do it all the fucking time. And it is so cringe to be like an outsider looking in at that, like watching them record it. I know they're having fun, but oh my God.
Nah, it's the 1%ers that like make it look cool. And like it is pretty cool because they're charismatic. But even those people though, you see them on the street and they're just fucking cringe anyway. It's like, do something better. Like do it down this block or something. You have to have a street full of people.
Oh, there's this group in Adelaide that they're a group of K-pop fans, and like they specifically go to Rundle Mall, like the busiest mall in Adelaide, to do the coordinated dance from the music videos of like K-pop songs.
What?
And they always post like videos of like someone walks through their dance, and like they all like turn around and like get really disappointed, and they're like, "Ah, oh, someone just ruined our video." And I'm like, "You're in the busiest fucking place in Adelaide, like in the middle of the peak day."
Could you walk through the dance area there or not? I couldn't do it.
No, I'd feel bad. But also, I'm like, if someone does it, like, dude.
Do you think they do it on purpose or in public? You think those people do it on purpose or not?
Yeah, some people do. They just be pricks because they're like, don't be a fucking idiot. Like, it's a shared space and you're taking up so much space. I think that's why they do it.
But see, they're making these situations where people can be dicks too. So
well,
like,
exactly. And then there's a camera and they like upload it and they're like, oh, look at this mean person. It's like, well, you know, it's a shared space.
Yeah. Like, sometimes they can be heroes too. It's like, yeah, they can. Like, I'll cheer that on. Like, yeah, see that? That was awesome. That guy just walked right through it. But yeah, so now we get, they're in church, like his brothers, and they're trying to like get people to sin, I think, for more power. Like, it's, I don't know, just because they're having fun on earth, I guess. Was there a reason why they're trying to like get people like to turn evil so hell can go on earth or some shit?
I think so. Yeah, they would just decided to make a second hell because they couldn't have the other one, pretty much.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. So they actually don't know what's going on in hell at the moment. Like, they don't know how easy it would be to dethrone their father and actually take over hell. It's actually quite interesting. Yeah, so that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make hell happen on earth. Yeah, the priest, he's pretty funny. He's, like, telling everyone, like, their dark secrets and shit.
Ma'am, I know your son. And believe me, he was better off on the drugs. At least when he was smoking hashish, he used to make me laugh occasionally.
After we tried for many years, the Lord finally helped my wife conceive a baby.
No, no, no. Your best friend Fitzy helped your wife conceive a baby. He helped her conceive it all night long.
Hey, hey, hey.
They're the brothers and shit, because the little flourishes they have, like the guy's eye and their mind reading shit. But yeah, let the sin begin. And then we have like a montage of little Nicky asking random people to get in the flask, which is pretty funny. That tires him out though, so he has to have like a nap.
How many fucking people are there in New York, bro? Like, be tiring.
Well, saying like, there's a joke there though when he like takes the guy from his bike and he's Asian, and then the guy knows karate and shit. So that's a racist joke, right? Or is that just a joke?
It's sus.
You get like him shitting on the street, which is found pretty funny because it was like extras, or it was like someone genuinely like looking away in disgust, because it was good acting regardless, whoever it was. It was pretty funny. The background work was happening. And then, yeah, so he goes to sleep and he's like making these intense noises again. There's a big crowd there. And then he turns his head and goes, "I will eat your heart." And then everyone runs away. And then this is the guy from Friday. I told you he was going to come back up later. This black dude. His name is John Witherspoon. He is the best, funniest thing out of Friday. But, yeah, he, like, goes over there, steals the flask and the piece of chicken he's holding, which I find was funny as. And then, yeah, he wakes up. He's like, what the fuck? And then these friends pop up, these other two friends. They're in everything as well. Not as much as Alan Covert, but you got Peter Dante and Jonathan Logren. Now, I don't know if you know these two actors that well, John, but which one do you prefer out of the two? Because they normally play off each other. They're normally paired. If you've seen Big Daddy, they're like the gay couple.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a bit like, I don't know if I can pick, because they're always together. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they wouldn't be each other.
Okay, fair enough.
So without the favorite. Other. Do you know what I mean?
All right. Yeah. So you don't pick your favorites. I know. I like Jonathan Logren, the guy who doesn't have the long hair, like long black hair. I like the other guy. They're both funny though. They're both good.
Yeah.
He has a good role, Peter Dante, which is the guy with who have the long black hair, who doesn't get possessed, who sweats a lot. He's like, he's good in Grandma's Boy. He has a good role in that. You'll probably find it funny. But yeah, so they send him on his way to find the flask. They tell her like some street vendor stole it. He finds him at a stand and he's like, give me the flask. And he has like this funny back and forth and he ends up like, you're giving me the crazy hat, and he like gives it back to him. It's pretty funny. He does actually know who he's dealing with. It's just, but yeah, then you get our lead Valerie, Patricia Arquette. Obviously, you know, the famous last name, like her brother and shit. I don't know if you know.
Wait, who's her brother?
Her.
What the hell?
The guy in Scream. What's his name?
Tony Arquette. Tony?
Yeah, something Arquette.
Is it?
He was married to the Courtney Cox.
Oh, what?
But yeah, she was married to Nicolas Cage briefly as well.
Bruh.
Yeah, she's in a lot of stuff, like True Romance being the one I know her from. But she's in like Ed Wood and some other stuff.
Oh,
she's
David Arquette.
Yeah, David Arquette, that's it, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in so many things. I don't know if you've seen Dreamwalkers, like one of the best Freddy films. 13th.
No.
She's in the third one anyway. She's one of her first roles. But yeah, no, she's a great actress. But yeah, she has like a imperfection with like her snaggle tooth. John Witherspoon actually calls it out. And I found that kind of strange that he would actually call that out. But it's something that pretty people with like imperfections actually kind of works for an actress anyway. Like it makes them stand out.
Oh, yeah.
Out. So I don't know if you know about Jennifer Grey. You know who that is?
The name's familiar, but.
She was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Dirty Dancing. She was a lead in Dirty Dancing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So
damn,
she was
massive.
She was primed to be a big star, but then she got a nose job. And then she kind of was, like, forgotten about because, like, she didn't look like herself. And, like, she maybe she got blacklisted as well, but I don't know what happened. But, yeah, everyone blamed that the nose job, like, ruined her career.
Yeah, I have to see it. I'm looking it up.
You should look at it. It's insane the difference it makes a look on her face. Like, just looks like a different person. I reckon she looks pretty regardless. I like both. But there's something about, like, not a perfect-looking face. Just to stand out. Sometimes, like, you can be so beautiful, it's, like, distracting as well.
Yeah.
Like, the girl, like, a goblin mode chick, like, she's so hot. But she also was crazy too, and that came off perfectly. But, yeah, so tell me what you think about her, Jordan. Jennifer Grey, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sussing it, and, like, you're right that, like, her nose is so, like, I remember watching it in Dirty Dancing and, like, her nose is so iconic, like that's what makes her. You're so right. Yeah.
But yeah, but in this, you've got her in pigtails and glasses. I think it's kind of fitting because she's all that just come out. And like they were, and I think what's that? Not Another Teen Movie brings up the point where she's ugly. She's got pigtails and glasses. Like there's always a common way Hollywood uglies up people, and that's what she's got.
But then her outfits are so cute.
Yeah, she has good energy.
She's a baddie.
Yeah, she's good energy. Like, you fall in love with her yourself. But that's probably another thing. They do fall in love very quickly, like, in this. Like, just, like, one date, and they're, like, the sparks are flying. I don't know if you can feel that.
Well, like, it's just gives him a chance.
There's a part where like, sniffs her arm, and he, like, then he starts licking it and shit, and she's into it. Like,
Bro. That's
fucking crazy to me.
Freak.
That's why I felt like it's kind of weird. Like, she is a bit of a freak. She's got red flags for me. Like, I don't think that's very good. But yeah, you also get Tarantino come up again. He's like, why are you taunting me with your darkness? And he like falls over and shit. And like, you get this whole Deep South joke again. This comes out a lot. It kind of
that
worked,
is kind of funny.
Yeah,
it is kind of funny. I like that one.
Yeah, it hits off definitely when she's like, "I get the joke now." The Deep South, like that was a good button to the joke.
Yeah.
Do you know where you live? And he's like, "I don't, but my dog does." And then you see like a brief snippet of the dog, and he's having sex with another dog, and that's what kind of humor you get throughout this movie. It's just like dogs fucking having sex with each other. But yeah, so
it's pretty crude, isn't it? Like, it's a pretty crude movie.
The brother sees what's going on as they're walking down the street, and then he like ruins their date, and he's like, "I like your heart shaped hiney." I think what else does he say that really turns her off?
Oh, I can't remember now.
It was,
but yeah, she's just like, "Why are you being such an asshole?" And yeah,
yeah. And then as she walks away, he like calls her name and then like sticks a finger up at her. And then yeah, he gets forced onto like oncoming traffic and he goes back to hell. But then you see, like, this is more cutaway humor, but essentially the ape man is playing with the guy's titties, and rubbing them and shit. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But then you also have like Rodney Dangerfield doing his routine with like the boobs and shit. And actually, no, I know what he says to little Nikki.
Yeah.
He says, "Can I wash my winky in your kitchen sinky?" I wanted to bring that up.
Bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to use that one?
Yeah, I probably will. No. should we do that in our opening quote? That'd be all right.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah. So he goes back to Earth. Like these two followers see him die and that like reaffirms their belief that he could be from hell.
Yeah. He's like, "Rock on, dude."
Yeah, they love it. So it's pretty funny. So what happens is the dog brings out a can of Coke or tells him to get a can of Coke out. And he's like, "Now you can turn this anything you want. You can turn it into like moose piss, like or car oil, anything." And he turns it into Pepsi, which I thought was a good joke. But do you like this product placement? Like, it's pretty smart to like fund, like it's probably like probably $5 million right there that you probably got just having that scene.
Yeah, and that's making me like think about the how much their budget was, because like Popeyes is in this so heavy, Coke would pay like buttloads and wouldn't care about paying buttloads because it's Coke. Like, yeah. How do they have such a big budget for?
Well, no,
with all this product placement,
Coke would be paying them.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, they shouldn't have really lost money.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't think it would have lost a crazy amount. Like, Popeye's chicken is actually a thing as well. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I've had it before and it's fucking great. Sorry. Is it like, it is really good.
Better than KFC?
No, it's different. It's different. Like, so it depends on what you would feel like, but it's still pretty good, man. I remember, like, getting a large meal and it was, like, fucking huge. Like, the drink was, like, 2 liters. It was crazy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was in Turkey.
Oh, that's pretty cool. They have Popeyes there, but not KFC. That's pretty strange.
Oh, it was in the airport, so limited choices.
Well, I'm glad you had it. Next time I have a chance to taste Popeyes, I'm going to.
I think Quindy had some when we went to Europe, and he said he really liked it, but, like, he's a KFC loyalist, so I think it was, like, you know, hard for him to admit that he liked it.
So what happens is his roommate comes in, he sees a dog run away, and he's, like, finds it very strange. And then, yeah, he opens up the can. He's like, "Why does this Coke taste like Pepsi?" That's the reveal. So, yeah, so they end up watching the Globetrotters game together, and you got Denny Carvey. He's, like, another SNL guy. He plays the ref. Have you ever seen Wayne's World before, Jordo?
I don't think I actually have, hey. And I know that's a really – like a really big movie.
I know what you have watched, though.
What?
Master of Disguise, correct?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes. So the guy who plays Master of Disguise is the ref. He's the same actor. He's actually quite a funny dude, all right? So don't judge him off that movie, Master of Disguise.
That movie is so bad, dude. Like, I feel like we should do that for the pod just to set out that, like, this is what a movie shouldn't be.
Denny, I like Denny Carvey. He's actually quite funny. Okay. He's been jaded, though, ever since he's, like, fallen out of Mike Myers. I know you'll know he's Shrek.
Yeah.
So these two, they did Wayne's World together, and they were on SNL together at the same time. And what happened was, I don't know if you know who created SNL, but his name's Lorne Michael. And Danny Carvey used to do an impression of him, and it sounded like Dr. Evil, essentially. Mike Myers took the voice and, like, made this character. Austin Powers is such a big hit, and Danny Carvey kind of felt slighted about the whole decision. Even though it was kind of like an impression of someone else, like, it's kind of murky, but he kind of felt like he was fucked over by Mike Myers. And ever since then, he's been like, well, yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, maybe if I did this funny voice, Jordan, like me and you.
Yeah.
Like just in private, and all of a sudden you, like, come out with a movie which is a blockbuster. And, like, you could have got me to play the part. You could have got me to play the part. Yeah, it's just insane. I always felt like when I heard that story, I just feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
I love that movie too. Mike Myers is a genius. But yeah, so he's reffing this game. You got Bill Walton, basketball player. He actually died recently. He's actually quite popular. He's a guy with his flaming hair on fire and shit. So like another cameo. It's pretty funny. Like, this scene, like Danny Carvey actually broke his ankle in real life, the ref. So
yeah, I had just read that. Like that's...
Yeah. How funny
had to
that?
Be on crutches. Like why... It just, you'd be like, oh, was it worth it? Yes.
Yeah. The crowd's going crazy because the game's not going to plan. Like, there's a lot of weird shit happening. And then there's two, like, this family in the audience keep reassuring their son, like, it's part of the show. I do like that running gag. But yeah, then, like, little Nicky goes, I'll take the shot because this guy's like, this crowd will go crazy. And the guy's giving him the ball is, like, out of Goodfellas. Like, he's, like, one of the guys with, like, a weird, really weird toupee and big eyebrows. Like, it's just crazy. Like, every role in this movie is, like, at least a somebody or in something that I know. There's no little parts. Like, there's no little actors, sorry. It's insane. Does he – he's about to make the shot, doesn't he, and he gets rejected? Is that what happens? I know he goes, I know the ref fucks with him anyway because he blows up the ball first, like, release the evil and the ball blows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I think something happens and they get in a skirmish with the ref. And then, yeah, the ref ends up, like, beating him down. Vice versa. Nicky ends up dunking on him. And then he's like, how'd you do that? And he's like, I got this super devil juice from my dad. And then, yeah, he drinks it. And then, yeah, he gets stuck in the flask. It's a pretty cool scene. And then, yeah, like, this show gets better every time. but, yeah, so that's the end of that scene. And they celebrate back at the apartment with his mates. Like, the other two guys are there. They end up having some weed cake. He does, like, the exorcist head spin. They love it. And then he pretty much, like, reveals, like, he's in love. And then, like, a little homophobic joke goes off because, like, he's like, do you love her, dude? And he's like, gay or some shit like that. but anything you want to talk about this scene or not, you don't really mind with the backwards sound and songs and shit. Because apparently that's a real thing.
Because that was I was going to like mention that. That's like it was it's actually based on a real thing where it was like submitted as evidence in this murder, like the Memphis 3. So basically like these three teenagers were accused of murdering these kids. And they were all, like, into heavy metal, like, you know, like, punk rock music at the time. And they were basically saying that, I can't remember, like, it's that exact song, apparently played backwards. It says, like, Hail Satan or something like that. And it was submitted as evidence that, like, it brainwashed them into committing the murders. Because there was this whole big thing, like.
It's a good lawyer.
Back in the day, called the, like, Satanic Panic. And everyone was, like, scared that, like, Satanism and rituals were like in media and brain.
It just shows you it's just like one, it's just one thing after another. Like, what's the current thing now? Like, fucking
damn, I know it was phones.
TikTok's a big thing in America right now.
Yeah,
but it is. So, it's just a big endorphin hit. It's really bad for you. I do agree with that. Like, I'm addicted to it. So,
100%. Me too.
So, but I have people making excuses for it though. It's like, no, it's not that bad. Like, it is bad. Just no, you have a problem. So he goes to see Valerie. I think when he's crossing the street to see her, like, he gets really hesitant. All right, found that bit pretty funny. Like, this is stuff I haven't really, every time I write down something, it's because I haven't noticed it before. And so, yeah, him walk crossing the street was like a good touch. It's like, oh shit, I'm gonna hit by a fucking truck again. It's revealed she's in student housing, and then this is probably what you say, transphobic or something. He goes up to this floor, and this guy's. So I find it pretty funny though, like the song that's playing, he's rubbing his nipples and shit. What do you think about this scene, Jordan?
No, I didn't like it per se.
You see the humor though. You see the humor there. And this guy's an actor too. This guy's in so many fucking things.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like one of those weird ones where it's like, it's got weird, like, yeah, transphobic undertones to it or like homophobic undertones to it. But like, he's also just a little bit of a wacky guy. We love wacky guys.
Yeah.
You know, like, that can be still fun. I don't know.
There should have been a scene with like him with the guy with the tits, and yeah, that would have been pretty funny. They're like a match made.
Oh, they like, yeah, match up, crossover. He's in love.
Yeah. Yeah, she's up the next floor up guy, and he's like, yeah, good luck with your nipples. Like, I don't need luck. I'm good. But yeah, so it ended with a pretty funny bit. So he goes up to the room and she's freaked out. They ended off with a pretty weird note of saying like, touch your honey and shit, and I want to wash my winky in your kitchen sinky. So she's on the edge. And so
as she should be. Like, it's so, yeah. Such, like, he was an incel from the start, but like, that's just crazy, yeah. Stuff.
And he's on the like literal edge of this building. She's holding like a cute teddy bear. Then she like maces him and he falls off the balcony. He's like almost going to hit the ground. And she's like, don't fall or something. Oh, please don't die. And then he stops and starts floating. All practical stuff. Apparently it was like 80 feet off the off the ground on wires and shit. He said this was scarier than the actual flood of the city park because that was like a green screen, obviously.
Yeah.
Do you think it was like cringe as fuck when they start flying together or what?
Yeah, and the special effects here were pretty...
Yeah, it's dated. Yeah, 100%.
So it's like really hard to get into it when it's like terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think this scene worked on me as a kid though. I was like buying their relationship. But at least they'd put in effort. What's another comedic actor that... Like, Eddie Murphy comes to mind because we're just talking about him, but like, does he really share much love interest, like scenes though? Like, does he actually have good love, like chemistry with people? I just think it's Sandler. I think it just has good natural chemistry with like women.
Yeah, I imagine that he's just really like a good person to work with in general. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like he would just be a really nice coworker on set. And so that probably just like automatically like leads to chemistry or at least like a feeling of safety and stuff like that. So yeah
feeling the him. Butterflies and stuff.
Mm, yeah.
Feel the butterflies, Valerie. I don't know if you know Michael McKean. We talked about him. He was in This Is Spinal Tap, Better Call Saul. He's like a lawyer in that. He's like a pretty big shit. Part. Yeah. He plays a police chief. He kills it in this movie. Like he like a lot of gravitas, I guess. Like you do feel scared when he's around. Like I think maybe this is me as a kid. He did scare me a bit. He puts out a warrant for his arrest, little Nicky. So when he's little Nicky's walking the street, this is what the Asian people see him. And like monster. So what was so racist about this part, Jorda?
I don't know. I just felt like it was weird and like low hanging fruit. Like well not low hanging fruit, what do you call it? Like those characters had no substance and they were just their race. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah so, does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah. So pretty much this parade of people that are chasing like escalates. Like now it becomes people in like wheelchairs chasing him after him. Ends with like them slamming into a bus or some shit. Little Nicky sneaks in the alleyway, gets cornered, and then he's like trapped and he releases the evil again, turns into heaps of little spiders.
No thanks.
Yeah, no thanks. I was just thinking, like, I would run away too. Like, what you could technically he's weak in that form because you just start stepping and shit, but everyone runs away. Goes back to the apartment, reforms himself. And then I love this fucking joke and I loved it from the very first time. Even before I watched Scarface, this is what we talked about in Scarface too, I think, about like the popular culture relevance it had.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this whole scene where he's like superimposed his face on. Al Pacino's face from Scarface. A lot of face, I'm saying. Yeah, and just shoots everyone up and people believe it. It's just so fucking funny.
Say hello to my little friend.
My name is Nicky and I'm gonna kill all you suckers for no reason.
That's not me, that's the cockroach Tony Montana.
It's difficult to watch, I know.
This is Adrian's work.
He superimposed your head onto Scarface.
Which is probably De Palma's third best film.
I love that shit. Our film critic, Alan Covert, Todd, he goes, I think it's his third best film. Yeah, she says that shit. Is he wrong, Jordo? Is Brian
De Palma- I noted that and I was like, that's pretty funny.
List your top three De Palma films. I don't think you've seen that many, but you've seen Snake Eyes.
Well, that's Scarface. Not there. Tell you that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, you haven't seen Blowout, have you?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Scarface would be number one. Ooh. I mean, I like Dress to Kill, but like it had its flaws. I guess probably Carrie, just because it's so iconic.
Nice. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I should watch more. I should watch more. That's kind of all I've got.
I like Carlito's way more than, I know, Scarface is just a classic too, but Carlito's way is so much better. I love Blowout, so maybe go Blowout, Carlito's way, and then probably go Scarface. But those two movies there, Giordo, you have to watch that. Blowout's okay. So good. Blowout's the reason why, I think I say this every time I talk about Blowout, is the reason why John Travolta got cast in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just because he's like...
pretty crazy.
You don't think you can act? Watch this movie. That's what he says to like the producers. Everyone's out to get him. This is why it's so good for these high concept like comedies. They need to kill him. So they try to smash his head, doesn't work. And then our boy, the film critic, he goes, I always wanted to kill someone. And he like ends up drowning. He starts talking about his mum and shit. I find that was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, that was so dark, dude. That was a dark bit of the movie, but it was still funny.
Yeah, I found it funny. But yeah, so he wakes up in hell, because that's what happens when you die. And then you have the Rodney Dangerfield joke I wrote down, which I like. He's like,
"Hey, you lose, royal flush, off at the brassiere." Well, the last time I saw a pair of jugs that big, two hillbillies were blowing on them.
which is like classic his humor. But yeah, so pretty much every time we go to hell, it like reminds you of the stakes of the movie, because now the devil has got like no legs. I think like no arms. Is it arms? He's just fallen to bits.
There's a point where he's like just a mouth and arms.
Yeah. So he's just like, he's definitely fucked up. So now they hatch a plan pretty quick to like stop Adrian, the other brother. His two friends, they go to the police station and they say, yeah, we know where little Nicky's going to be this time at the train station. Police station now is like full of strippers and stuff, pretty hot. So now I think they agree for like $50 million or something to like expose little Nicky. They all go to the train station. They got a good joke where they see the roommate and the dog is like, what is this?
Get these two out of here.
All right. Okay.
What is this? A bulldog and his gay lover?
Oh, shut up.
It's true. This worked on me when the first time I watched it. It's like, holy shit, these two friends are betraying him. Like, the audience is behind the movie at this point. You don't know what's happening. You're kind of confused.
Yeah.
So, I give it its props there.
And they say a good bit at this, don't they? They're like, what did you expect? Like, if we're Satan worshippers or something like that.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Valerie's dressed up as a bum. She like walks past talking about it like a little gin juice and like steal it and snaps and they're like enjoying it. Adrian like wants to show him, like he's already revealed to them, like he's like the son of the devil, I guess, because he pulled himself out of the police captain. All over the place because I didn't really write good notes. But yeah, so he almost gets tricked, almost drinks out of the flask, but he notices one of the friends very heavily sweating. So he kind of like gets ahead of them and forces little Nicky out and they have this little showdown. I think it's kind of like inspired by The Matrix. I don't know if you remember that scene. No, like have you seen The Matrix? There's a scene where they're pretty much fighting and the train's coming and yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is such a good scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like
I didn't realize it was like a direct.
I don't think it, maybe like subconsciously it was influenced. I don't think it was direct influence, but I had that similar vibe. I like this. Only because I watched that scene recently when I was with my nephew. What do you think, Jordan? You think it's okay to show like an 11-year-old that fight scene from The Matrix? Like they're pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Just the fight scene. That's fine. That's smaller. Yeah. And it kind of sets kids up like this is what you should be watching, like enjoying good movies.
I'm pretty sure I watched that too young because the scene where, like, when Mr. Anderson's there with the agent, Agent Smith, he's just like, how are you going to talk without a mouth? And he's like, mouth disappears and shit.
Oh, that's like, so, yeah. That's like, that's body horror.
And they shove, like, the thing down its belly button. That shit was fucking scary as a kid. I did watch that very young, but that movie blew my fucking mind. Like, it does everyone. Fucking love that shit. But, yeah, so it turns out he saves the day. Adrian goes to hell, and if only little Nicky went to hell as well, the movie would be over because the flames would have started back up because all of them died at the same time. They all went through hell at the same time. So it would have been perfect. But no, since little Nicky did a kind act or selfless act before he died, he goes to heaven.
Yeah.
And heaven's pretty amazing because it's got flowers and like nice blue colors. Everyone wears jumpsuits. For some reason, it's like a sorority house. You definitely got that vibe, right?
Yes. And I was like, this is exactly what it should be. I agree. Like, this is.
You like it?
Like, they do yoga in the mornings. They chat yeah. shit. They paint their nails. Fuck yeah. That does sound like heaven.
So it's kind of like boys go to hell and girls go to heaven. That's what it's kind of implying. Unless you're like, you're like, but then once you're in heaven, you're like either like an instructor or you're like a servant for these girls. Like, it's insane. I don't know. It's pretty funny though. It's a good scene.
And you know that like the redhead angel is his missus in real life?
Yes, his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in a lot of his movies.
And again, she's in everything. Yeah.
Yes.
100%. Yeah.
Well, watching That's My Boy, and then she pops up in that as well. I was like, you know, they're married in real life. He's like, oh, what? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She's pretty fine. And then the third angel, I'm pretty sure she's from Grounded for Life and Rules of Engagement. She plays like the mother figure and the wife in that. She's pretty funny. She's okay. So all three angels are going to pretty big things, I guess. Like if you count Marion Adam Sandler for a big thing, then yeah. They all have a bit of career. Turns out that she's her mum. She's his mum. You get Carl Weathers and his cameo. It's all in the hips.
I love him. I love you, Chubbs. And you know he passed away recently. I think we talked about it in like a thing in like a previous episode.
He passed away. Carl Weathers. Shout out to Arrested Development with the more meat in that bone. Fucking love him in that. He's hilarious. He probably plays the best. Like, actually, he's Apollo Creed, so we shouldn't even joke about it. Like, that's probably one of his best roles. But yeah, so I like this. So you see hell again. The son, Adrian, grabs the guy with boobs on his head and gives him a titty twister to force their dad off the throne and so becomes a devil. but then you like Harvey Keitel, titty twister. Then you feel like a Dusk Till Dawn again. Like, it's pretty crazy. It's like small world. And you get this really cool thing where Roddy Dangerfield goes, "Ooh, even in hell, I get no respect." Like, that's like his catchphrase. Like, it's so funny how Roger Dangerfield's just doing his thing. I love it. But yeah, you see the horns arise on Adrian's head. Looks fucking cool. This is like pretty almost scary stuff. Like, it's like the horror elements are pretty like decent for a comedy. Like, they don't really like go too goofy with you. At least they do show you some cool stuff. Another thing in this movie that happens a lot is like cheating on my husband humor is a lot in this. Like, I think it comes up again. Now they're taking over Central Park, breaks the news to everyone, like, you're all going to hell. It's pretty funny. So this is the climax scene, which is, I think, pretty great because you get a lot of good cameos. Henry Winkler, which is a guy from Waterboy, you know, the coach.
Yes.
He's also the Fonz as well of Happy Days. He gets covered in bees. If you're in an Adam Sandler movie, like more than once, I reckon you're a pretty cool dude. Like, I think you're
Your cool points are up.
Yeah, cool point. I just think like Adam Sandler doesn't really suffer like assholes and dickheads.
Mm.
Like, I feel like if you're like on his set more than once and like you must have something going for you, like you must like you.
Well, yeah, because, if you get invited back, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't even matter because I was just thinking about Jack Nicholson. He wouldn't, like, you don't, he only comes back on his terms. I'm guaranteed he's an awesome dude, though. I love Jack Nicholson. But yeah, so the final showdown between brothers now. It's pretty funny, though, when Valerie's hanging up by her underwear. She, like, spits at him and, like, he catches a spit with his mouth. And then, actor friend, he like, speaks for the audience, like, "You just swallowed her spit," or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Or like, I just love it because that's like how you're feeling at the time. Like, what the fuck? It's disgusting. But yeah, it's pretty cool this scene though because the stakes are pretty high. Obviously, they're fighting for heaven and earth, but they're literally having a pillow fight at some point. So I reckon that's pretty cool. And really what saves the scene is the sound effects because it actually makes it like seem pretty climactic, this fight with the pillows. But at the end of the day, if it was any other sort of movie, like, you wouldn't buy it. But for some reason it works. I really like the climax in this. Like, it's pretty hard to do, like, to make, like, something with such, like, high concept, finish it so well. pretty much Little Nicky is about to win, and then he calls his like demon dudes that love Popeye chicken and shit like that. You know how he was like, I skipped ahead, but you know how he was like making things with his rainbow hands, like release the good.
Yes. that was a bit like weird. That was a cringy bit. I was a bit like,
Yeah. Oh yeah. But what would you do, Jordo? Like what would you want appear in front of you for you to like be bewildered by and like
puppies
memorized? So at least little puppies and stuff.
Yes, like a whole group of puppies. Have you seen that BuzzFeed video where like they get drunk people?
Yes.
And they give them puppies? Me. Yeah. Let's go.
I love it. All right, so let's do it three times. Let's play a little game where so you create puppies and I'm going to create something to like make it like evil, I guess, and you make it good again. Just like
no, don't kill the puppies. I swear to God.
No, I'm not kill the puppies. I'll just make them into adult dogs and then drop a baby there and then it goes and then yeah, before the dogs attack, what do you do?
Bro, why do you automatically think that the dogs are going to eat the baby? What if they protect the baby?
Well, then, yeah, maybe do that. Maybe have it like you put like halos around the dog's head or something.
Yeah, the dogs are like protective and form a cuddle pile around the baby.
well, then I turn the baby.
I'm the baby.
Into...
That's the truth. All right, what would you do? What would you pick?
For what? Oh, for something to pop in front of me. Probably KFC chicken.
KFC chicken.
Yeah. Popeye's chicken is fucking awesome.
My evil thing was that, like, you'd reach into the box to, like, start eating one. It'd be, like, a deep-fried chicken head.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. But, yeah, so pretty much those Popeye-loving minions grab onto Nicky and you force him into the flask. But then Little Nicky wisely grabs him. They're all three of them in there. And that's what I was saying, like... So the next scene is them three, the flask is bouncing around and it's like pretty exciting stuff. But in reality, it's just like a flask being chucked around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like it's pretty good filmmaking because you're kind of like in for it. And like, but the sound effects are selling it and the crowd reaction selling it too. But in reality, it's all pretty underwhelming. But yeah, so you think Little Nicky wins the fight because he's out and he kisses Valerie. Like, what? No tongue? And then, like...
Dude.
Yeah, it forms into a bat. And then Valerie grabs a flask and goes, think of the butterflies, Nicky. And then Nicky pops out. And then they have a bit of a, confrontation, but he gets the orb of light, smashes on the ground. Then Ozzy Osbourne pops up, grabs a bat, bites his head off, spits in the flask. Great scene. Apparently, everyone was in awe of Ozzy Osbourne. And when he was filming. But you laugh, Jordo, but before he, like, ruined his own image and his mystique, he was actually quite a big deal. But, like,
Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne was huge back
then. Of course. Yeah. I remember dad telling me that, like, when they came to Adelaide and everyone, like, when he was in high school, people went and there was a girl in his class that he knew that went and was up the front and he bit the head off of a bird and spat blood in her face.
The fuck?
Apparently.
Oh,
no, it's way more
shit.
Fucking gross than that, bro.
Yeah.
Way like more gross. Shit.
Yeah, but like having himself film his all exploits in his family and stuff, like now he's just kind of a parody of himself now. He's ruined his own image. It's kind of shit. But he's a funny dude. Like the interviews you hear him, he's like totally, his brain's melted from the drugs he's taken. He's like it's so crazy. But yeah, so essentially he needs to get back to hell ASAP. But since if he dies, he's going to go to heaven. So he needs to do something wrong. And they suggest put bees on Henry Winkler. So he does that. Awesome joke. They have a lot of callbacks to jokes in this. Basic rule of three shit, but I do like it. And then, yeah, so they kill him with the big rock because Ozzy Osbourne gives him the rock and then he goes to hell. Cool scene how he's like running on the air with the flask. Do you like that, Jordan? That shit always sticks with me.
Yeah.
I saved your dad. Dad reforms. Happy ending. It's pretty good. Like you get Harvey Keitel flirting with Reese Witherspoon. Like in reality, that's pretty fucking gross, but I don't know. It was kind of cute in this when he's like dancing, doing the tongue thing. Like, la, 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 la. I don't know. Did you like that? Yeah. It's pretty funny. I feel like the other angels are very judgmental, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what to say about it.
Well, would you sleep with Harvey Keitel? That's what I'm trying to ask. In his Hitler form, or in his devil form?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would.
What the fuck?
Which is fucking weird, though. Like, but honestly, like, at the start, like, that was, like, that's, the one character I really noticed, and I was like,
That's daddy issues.
Oh, my God. I love my dad.
Your cult issue things as well. You got, like, yeah, that's he so could cute. Be a lit. Anyway, so they think it's a good idea to punish Adrian and his brother, Lister Jr., by shoving him up Hitler's ass.
I think that's iconic.
It's iconic.
It's fantastic.
And the movie ends with like a little freeze frame snapshots of all the characters and what they went on to be.
I love when movies end like that. Like, I think it's just so.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, it's easy, but it's cute and effective.
Yeah, I like it. Chris Farley gets a shout out.
Wait, what?
But he, like, they're all very close, like, really good friends. Like, he was in Billy Madison. He played the bus driver.
Yes, and he's so good in that. Like, he's so cringe and good in that role. Like, when he's being, like, gross. Yeah.
Yeah, he's hilarious. But he died, I think, in the 90s. I think it was 98 or something, or 99. It was late 90s he died. But yeah,
he was from drugs, I believe.
Drug overdose. Yeah, he was a maniac on that. But yeah, so Adam Sandler was very close friends, and Reese Witherspoon's thing, like, Chris Farley is her new yoga instructor, I think, something like that. So yeah, so he's got, like, his role in heaven now is, like, pretty much banging Reese Witherspoon. Pretty cool. Pretty cool shout out for our boy. But yeah, I do like how they rip on Todd one more time about, like, how no one saw his one-man show. It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. And right, it was only the nipple guy that rocked up.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so Jordo, let's do our final thoughts.
There's one thing we didn't touch on, which I think is, like, super important. It has a banger soundtrack for literally no reason. No reason. There's Deftones. It's so good. And, like, I don't know, I feel like that is actually kind of common with all of the Happy Madison movies. They all tend to have, like, pretty good soundtracks. And I don't know if Adam Sandler is a musician, isn't he?
No, but I think he's just a good taste. And, like, I think he lets a lot of people work well too. Like, doesn't put many restraints on his, like, collaborators.
So right, someone's okay.
It sounds like, let's just be a good choice. Yeah, fucking let's do it. Like, he's not a control freak.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he empowered the right people to pick the soundtracks. That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
I just noticed there was, like, a lot of heavy metal stuff, especially at the end with the two stoner dudes, like, in hell rocking out together. That was pretty cool.
That's cute, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, the little Nicky baby. I don't know if you noticed that. That was all right, too. Did you want to cover that?
Yeah, I did notice that. That's cute. Like, I always love, like, little things that, like, allude to things like that, or, like, they're a little jump forward.
Yeah. So they kind of rewrote the scene, but it was originally going to be Tarantino's character to see the baby again. So I reckon that would have worked it well again, but I don't know why they cut that scene or changed the scene, maybe availability again. It's a shame. All right, so do some final thoughts, Jordo. You can go first.
Like, I mean, it's good in some regards. Like, it's an easy movie to watch. It's pretty easily digestible, but, you know, like I was saying, like, the comedy in it has aged quite a lot. And so, I don't know, I don't think it's going to be broadly enjoyed, but if you like that kind of thing, you are going to really enjoy it. It's definitely not one of my, like, fave Adam Sandler movies, but it's, you know, it's hard to pick a fave because he has so many classics and just so many good movies. So, I don't know, it's certainly not, like, horrible by any means, but
it's not a good way to introduce your boyfriend to your friends with this movie.
It's not a good way, no. And it's also not a good way to, like, I don't think this is, like, the best way to introduce, say someone's never heard of Adam Sandler before and you show you need to show them one movie, you probably wouldn't pick this one. It's good and it's, like, still, like, you will still enjoy it, like, once you become an Adam Sandler fan, I guess.
Yeah.
But you would probably lead with something else. Does that make sense?
Prerequisite, you have to be an Adam Sandler fan to like this.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
I think that's right. A sense of his humor. But Crystal does not like this movie. She doesn't like the hell elements of it.
Think that she would, kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess, like, it's not everyone's cup of tea. That's probably why reason why it maybe didn't make as much money either, because America's very much like that as well. Their sensibilities is like, you don't make fun of God and devil and blah, 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 shit like that.
Yeah, like, but they're like serious, so
subject matters.
It's different over there. Like, we're so much more blasé with stuff. Like, just in general, yeah. I think the, like, population of atheists is, like, massive compared to other countries.
Well, really, Australia is.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking about this with my friend the other day, and she's, like, studying to be, like, a pastor. So, like, she knows her shit. Like, she finds a lot of joy in, like, religious stuff. Oh,
that's crazy.
But, like, yeah, she was saying, like, a lot of what are they called? Like, people that get sent other places to, like, spread the word. Oh, missionaries. A lot of missionaries get sent to Australia because we have, like, less religiousness, I guess.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe so. Maybe the movie did way better here than it did in America, kind of thing.
Well, as I said, the DVD sales would have saved it anyway. Okay, my final thoughts. Love this movie as a 10-year-old. I feel like the nostalgic, like, enjoyment you get will improve your watching. Like, I think if you watch this young, you'll like it for the rest of your life, essentially. But it's definitely not, like, a heavy rotation Adam Sandler movie for me. There's a lot more out there that I like more. Like, Anger Management's so much better than this. But I feel like Adam Sandler fries, like, in a more grounded terms anyway. So it's kind of, like, away from his forte. Yeah, and, like, you need his anger outbursts. Like, that's especially when you see him getting angrier, especially in Happy Gilmore, how he, like, yells at the ball and shit, and he, like, pretends to be calm, and all of a sudden he starts screaming. Like, that's peak Sandler. Yeah. And, like, you don't see any of that in this. So I've mentioned it before. But I'll give this movie, like, a 666 out of 1,000.
Boo, bro.
Well, happy
I didn't give
times.
Mine a number rating, but I'd probably do the same.
Yeah. Like, a 6... Yeah, it probably does a 5 out of 10 because it has those moments, but it also has its lackluster moments too. But it's a comedy. Like, you can't really judge it. It's so weird to judge comedies anyway. Like, it's just supposed to be a good time. This movie's not trying to win anything. Like, it's just trying to be fun. And you do feel the fun on the screen too. Like, you can tell Adam Sandler had fun with his friends, and that's, like, always a good thing a Sandler movie does. So, Jordan, just want to shout out our fan and to suggest people email us in for next month's Fan on Film suggestion.
Yeah, please hit us up again, because it's good and it's refreshing to, I don't know, do something a little bit different, but also, like, hear and see what you guys want to hear about. So hit us up with more requests. Thank you so much again, Triple Three Legend, for hitting us up with a request R3. And sending us your thoughts and stuff. Glad you enjoyed the movie. Hope you enjoyed the pod. And would love to hear from you again at some point.
Yeah, big shout out. Like, they actually wished me happy birthday, which I really appreciate. So I'm glad.
Wholesome. Yeah. So cute.
Yeah. I'm glad we connected with you. I'm glad you're a fan of us. Like, we're
obviously
a fan of you.
Like, the coolest dude. You know what I mean? Like, sounds like this guy's someone that you want to be friends with, you know? So.
Yeah. No, it's so cool. He actually recommended us do a movie, Bad Boys, not the Will Smith / Martin Lawrence one, but. It's Bad Boys with Sean Penn.
Oh.
Yeah, I've never seen it, never heard of it, so I'll have to check it out. But no, he's like a really good fan. So if you ever feel like you want to, like, talk to us, feel free. We'll always message you back. And we would like to, like, do a movie for you next. So yeah, message in. So let's do our next segment, Oscar picks. Jordo,
oh my God.
Who are you going to give an Oscar to? Did you not say Adam Sandler? Because
dude, I just
this
feel
movie
like
thrived
we
despite
can't-
him.
I feel like I can't do an Oscar pick for this one.
I'm going to.
Okay, fuck. Well, let me think.
You give it to the soundtrack guy.
Yeah, I was just thinking editor. That. I'll do soundtracks.
Yeah, nice. I'm going to give mine to John Lovitz from the start because he, like, embodied this pervert character. Which I don't know if you've seen Grown Ups, but he's, like, the weird ass. Isn't he, like, a yoga teacher or something in that?
In Grown Ups?
I'm sure he is. I'm pretty sure he plays like a yoga teacher or something, and he's like looking at the girls. He does something similar to that anyway.
I just know him as, like, yeah, the billionaire dad from Benchwarmers, and he's like so fucked in that. Like, he talks about, like, chest hair and getting farted on, getting like titty twisters and stuff. Like,
but he's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, and he drives the car, like Knight Rider.
Yeah, he's such a nerd. it's a good movie too. But no, yeah, he's a funny guy, and like as I said, he embodies the role of a pervert. And yeah, and Golden Girl goes to everything goes to the first scene. So I'm giving my Golden Girl to Laura Herring. She's she's amazing. Even though she was just had a brassiere out, yeah, she was good. I feel like this is gonna get me cancelled, this freaking Golden Girl shit, but I'm going with it. So let's do. Actually, I don't know what movie we're doing next. Maybe it's your time for you to pick one, Jordan. So we end the podcast the same way with three clues to the next episode.
You mean it? It's Jordan, my turn.
You can, yeah, it's your turn. It's been a while
since
you picked.
Holy shit! All right, hang on, give me a second. I got to find the ones that like I had written in my notes to what to watch. So I'm gonna give you three clues.
Yeah, Jordan, give me three clues, please.
All right. Well, the first clue is that this movie was made, and then they kind of like remade it in like shortly later.
Wow.
Keeping some of the same characters.
Different language?
Nope.
What? Fairy tale based at all?
Not fairy tale based, but like you know, like a kind of unique like fantasy trope, yes.
Okay. Is it like is it could I make the movie, or is it do people own the rights to it?
People own the rights to it.
Okay.
And right, it's part of a common debate amongst pop culture enjoyers around like which type is better.
Wow. Very interesting.
Is this too broad?
No, I like it. I like it. Next clue.
Okay. It's a typical like recruiting the bad guys to solve a problem movie.
Okay. Kind of like Armageddon, where they like hire these drill operators to blow up this meteorite or some shit.
Yeah, or like, you know, like they enlist like inmates to help solve a crime kind of thing.
Okay, I do like that premise. Okay, another clue.
Does the last clue have to be a bit more like punchy so you can kind of get it?
Yeah, this is pretty broad at the moment. Have I seen the movie before?
Yeah, you would have had to have. It was kind of like one of the second biggest movies that Margot Robbie did.
Okay, it's a Margot Robbie movie.
Yeah. And it's after Wolf of Wall Street. I can't speak.
Okay.
But it was like, it was kind of like the one that really got her.
I tell you right now, someone's talking about it. Suicide Squad, I'm going to kill you.
It's Suicide Squad.
You fucking idiot. Okay.
Only because I want to pick it apart and I want to.
All right. Yeah. You can pick it. It's been a while since you picked. I think last time you picked one and we just vetoed it straight away, but Suicide Squad it is.
Please don't override this one.
It's all right. No, I won't. David Ayer movie. I guess it's like popular. Like people have seen this movie. I reckon it's a big disappointment in my mind. Like, is this off the wave of Deadpool? I'm pretty sure. Like Deadpool got a lot of movies greenlit, like R-rated, like villain type movies. And this was one of them, and it totally sucked balls. And I don't even blame David Ayer. Like, there's a lot of talk about in this movie because David Ayer feels like the movie was stolen from him, the director. And he did, like, a really good movie, like, End of Watch, I think. He's actually a really good director. I think he did Fury as well. So he got fucked over massively. All right, so next week we're going to do Suicide Squad. Jordan, hopefully your theme gets better.
Maybe you can just I think this is going to be a hard one for you guys to guess. Hope it is anyway. Yeah, it's going to be, like, once you're told what the theme is, you're going to be like, that's a good one. I hope.
Well, Margot Robbie is the best thing about this movie. She's so good.
But actually, save it for the pod, bro. You got to save it for the actual pod. True.
There are redeeming qualities to it, and there is a lot to talk about. All right, so let's do, how would you end the movie, Jordan? So you can add a still frame, or you can have the bad guy win, or you could have them live in hell instead of on Earth. But yeah. I do like how. Yeah. How would you end it?
Okay, low key, I would have Adrian win and take the throne because he's low key hot, and I think he would do a good job at it.
Yeah.
I don't know. The bit where he's wearing like the red jacket, like the red
You like his vibe jacket. Too, though, don't you? You like his
yes.
vibe.
Yes. And, like, the red jacket was, like, so hot. And also, that's the second movie that we've had
in a row.
The character wears a nice red jacket.
Audition.
Shout out Audition. Yeah.
She's got a nice, vibrant jacket. And there's has a might. Well, I feel like the Audition one's a bit more girlier.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
A bit more fluffy. So how I would end it? I would end it with an extra freeze frame. Oh, no, I'll probably just end it with, like, a Roger Dangerfield set of him, like, doing a little stand-up for all the boys in hell, just so I can see more Roger Dangerfield. Have you seen Natural Born Killers before, Jordo?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He plays, like, the drunk dad. Like, he's disgusting in that movie.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. He's good in it. So maybe, I want more of him because I really find him fascinating. I haven't even seen Caddyshack before, but I have to start watching.
Caddyshack's pretty good. It's, like, it's goofy, but it's good.
I have seen the one where he goes back to school. I think it's called Back to School, which, hey, happy Billy Madison, probably a really big, like, red flag there, like how much he, like, likes Roger Dangerfield, like, did a whole movie pretty much on the same premise.
Yeah.
But he goes to college anyway, but it's pretty cool. All right, so deadly puns. We have a few deaths in this. People hit by a car a lot. We presume if you get... Actually, no, you do survive if you get dragged out through someone's nose or someone's mouth. That's actually, you do survive that. you probably can say Henry Winkler got covered by bees. I'll say he died because I don't think he can survive that. Can you think of any other deaths?
Only the ones, like, obviously, like when Nikki gets run over by things.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, give us a funny quote.
Does he get hit by a truck or a bus?
He gets hit by both, I think. And then a train. But yes, you can say whatever you want with the
hit. Well, when he gets hit by the truck, which I believe is the scene where the two, like, punk rockers are watching it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when they witnessed Nikki die.
Yeah. And the 666.
I think it'd be funny if one of them said, "Damn, bro, he got trucked up."
It's not even that good. That's even a saying you say.
Mine are, like, simple and good. Thank you.
I don't really have, like, a... What about when he's just, like, when he gets his head ripped off by Ozzy Osbourne, spat into the flask, and then Lil Nicky just goes, "You should have just gotten the flask when I asked."
Boo. Eminem. That's just a rhyme. That's not a pun.
Yeah, but it's Eminem saying it, so it's pretty cool.
Okay, that would be kind of funny, yeah. If for the, like, the Eminem...
You know what I'm saying?
That would be Hanian. Good.
I'm listening to playing.
Houdini.
Yeah, actually, what's your thoughts on Houdini? I love asking people this question.
I think it's interesting. Like it? I'm waiting to see what else he comes out with because, like, there's that whole conspiracy around, like, Houdini was, like, 53 when he died in Chicago and Eminem is 53 living in Chicago.
What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. Like, I think it might be that, like, he has, like, a new vibe to his music and it's, like, the death of some shady. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting. He's actually quite young. 53 is young.
Yeah.
He's got like another
He's
at least,
still got room to do stuff, 100%. Like, but that's what I mean. Years. He might just like completely revamp his music style or something like that. He might become a country western singer.
It's weird that like he is going back to his roots though because it's kind of like it's sort of similar vibe of his old songs, like his first, like maybe third album. Anyway, it's not an album review. This is a movie review podcast. So, yeah. Jordan, give us a fun fact about Hudson Hawk you just learned.
Yeah. And we'll end the podcast. So, all the people that listen to the Hudson Hawk episode, kind of funny. Tony Hawk's son is called Hudson Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if he like has seen the movie and likes the movie and that's why he's like, lol, that would be so funny. Like, I should so use my last name for this purpose. If it's just a coincidence. Because Hudson's like kind of a common name, though, too.
Yeah, well, Tony was going to call his firstborn son Hudson.
Oh, my God, really?
No.
Oh, but dude, shut up.
saying how much he loved fucking Hudson Hawk, I'm surprised he didn't. Like, but luckily he got a girl. But, I know, Hudson Hawk, there is a ring to it.
Yeah.
One day we could even re-review it. Who knows? I do want to re-review Dust Till Dawn because we haven't actually. It's something we, our first ever recorded episode that we published. To my computer, not nowhere else is there. Also, yeah, but it'd be good to have you on it too, Jordan. I can't listen to any of the like first stuff. It's so cringe, just like this movie. All right, so rate, subscribe, do that. Say your thing, Jordan, to get people to listen more.
What do you mean?
What did they say? Like to get?
Oh, like thanks for watching, guys. Hit the like button down below and subscribe. Make sure you hit the bell icon.
Yeah, the bell icon. Catch y'all. See you next week with our Suicide Squad movie, which
whoop, whoop.
I have to start vetoing before. Yeah, see ya.
No. Bye.
Hey, pal. Welcome.
Welcome to what? Where am I?
Aren't you that horny guy who was pretending to be a big bird?
Checking out that beautiful mom?
Yes, I am.
Now you're going to see what a big horny bird actually looks like.
In hell.
I deserve this! I deserve this!